Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, as the boxes are opened and the votes are tallied and counted, we'll bring you the latest from the Assembly elections in Northern Ireland. Now, it's an election that's expected to make history, but what story will those votes tell as we go through the morning? We'll have live reports, reaction and analysis. The turf row escalates and briquettes could be next in the firing line. We'll find out why. War reporter Belle True has spent weeks working in besieged Ukraine. She's home and she'll join us to tell us why this is the worst conflict she has experienced. Hopes are high that we'll see some decent weather this weekend, but Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather isn't convinced that it's the time for shorts just yet. We'll chat to him a bit later. And of course, we'll have the gathering too to examine the big stories of the week. Our text number 51551. Email today cb@rte.ie or on Twitter we are at Today with Claire. So first this morning, as I mentioned, counting has begun in the Northern Ireland election with the first of 90 MLAs expected to be returned later this afternoon. 239 candidates stood for election across 18 five-seater constituencies with the DUP and Sinn Féin fighting for top spot and the right to nominate their First Minister. Well, I'll be discussing the twists and turns of the campaign with my studio panel. And later on, we're going to take a look at what's happening in the UK local elections. But first, RT Radio 1's Barry Lenehan is at the Titanic Centre in Belfast and joins us from there now. So, Barry, the counting has begun. What's the latest from where you are?
Yes, good morning, Claire. Six constituencies down for decision here in the Titanic Centre here in Belfast. Other counts going on in Jordanstown and Maharafelt as well. And really, the games are just beginning. The fun just beginning here this morning. The boxes swung open at 8 o'clock. The verification and sorting of votes is currently ongoing with the count set to begin shortly enough. The count process and first counts coming in their droves then after lunchtime and early afternoon. But really early indications yet. Remember the usual caveats that we always say in election day, health warning, etc. It's a double health warning here because the tally information is not as detailed as we would expect in a Dáil election or elections in the 26 counties. So what we are predicting, what we are projecting does come heavily caveated, but that is what we're here for. And the latest coming through at the moment, we've spoken about Alliance Surge, the party looking to build on its 8 seats. Well, the early indications are that the Alliance Surge is perhaps very much on from the early opening of boxes. One of the constituencies that I'm looking at this morning is the constituency of South Down, where you have two SDLP seats, two Sinn Féin seats and one DUP seat. Of course, all eyes there on the DUP following the controversial deselecting and resignation of Jim Wells, the Conservative former minister. But the story coming from South Down this morning is that the SDLP vote is down. It has slipped below 30% the last time. It's down again with the Alliance Party on track to make a breakthrough there with Patrick Brown. So the Alliance Party polling very well in South Down. The SDLP down in its traditional heartland around Ross Trevor. While a word as well from West Tyrone, where the Alliance Party is also seemingly polling well at the expense of the Ulster Unionist Party and could well be taking a seat there. While other indications are is that Jim Allister's traditional Unionist Voice Party is polling better than expected, but again, it's very, very early days.
Okay, and what should we be looking out for then in the coming hours? As you say, it's early days, Barry, but what will be the key moments as we head towards lunchtime?
Well, obviously, those counts coming in after lunch, and it'll be a long process. But key moments to watch out for would be what happens in Foyle, where the SDLP is looking to take a third seat at the expense of Sinn Féin, who have, they both have two seats there. Sinn Féin had a catastrophic Westminster election there and have had internal strife. So if the party can hold two seats there, the Sinn Féin very much on for a good day. They are, of course, on track to be the largest party. Also keep an eye to what happens in Strangford, the only constituency, five seats, three of which belong to the DUP, the only constituency to have three sitting DUP MLAs. One of those is likely to fall, and it could be a breakthrough for the SDLP, first ever time for a nationalist in that constituency. Whilst the Ulster Unionists are decidedly nervous here in the count centre, they have two candidates running, one of whom their former party leader Mike Nesbitt, looking slightly anxious. Could the TUV make a breakthrough there? And also look out for South Belfast. I know you're like your election war sports, Claire. This is a labyrinthine count that's likely to go on until 4 o'clock in the morning, one each for the DUP, Sinn Féin, SDLP, Alliance and the Green Party. The Alliance think they can take two, while former party leader Edwin Poots, only in charge of the party for 21 days, he's moved there trying to hold the seat of his late friend Christopher Stalford.
Okay, so you have a long way to go, but I know you were chatting to people this morning as they were heading to work and out and about. You were talking to them about the turnout and what they hope and expect to see.
That's it, Jess. The turnout projected to be around 54%. That would be down from 67% the last time. And even if it is around 54%, this going on what was polling at around 9 o'clock last night, if it's around then it's probably one of the lowest turnouts we've had, or if not the lowest, since assembly elections, since the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. And already we have Sammy Wilson warning this morning that the DUP won't go back into the executive, won't go back into Stormont. So perhaps a world weariness over politics here, as I picked up this morning.
I think Sinn Féin will hold the majority of the seats. I think people have no real interest in the protocol. It's the state of the economy, the rising prices, and that's really the issue that people were voting on, not the Brexit issue. I think that the DUP have lost a lot of voters due to their persistence of the protocol, and they've given a lot of votes to the TUV, and I think you'll see the TUV becoming one of the largest parties for unionists.
And if Sinn Féin are the largest party, if they have the First Minister, what sort of ramifications do you think it will have for politics here?
Well, I think Sinn Féin are the highest party. I don't see the DUP going into Stormont in the immediate term. I think they'll hold out for a deal in the protocol, so I think it'll be stalemate here for the next couple of months.
No real interest, but I'm glad I voted at the same time.
Do many people, many of your friends vote, or did they turn away?
Everyone voted. Might as well. I was a woman who haven't had the vote for long, so we might as well put it to use.
Well, at the minute, I think the majority of people here are done with the whole green and orange politics thing, and people do want a more progressive politics in place in Northern Ireland. I think a lot of people are fed up with the DUP and Sinn Féin and their kind of stalemates and their agendas and stuff like that. So being out in the polling stations last night and voting, I did see a large number, it seemed to me, of young people voting, which is very promising as well, because I think a lot of the young people are going to vote more progressively.
I'm an SDLP supporter, moderate nationalist, so I'd like to see them do well, although ultimately I don't think it's going to be government. I think that the unionists are going to do badly, and that they refuse to sit in the permanent coalition, which is the way our government is organised.
How weary will people be if that is the case, given the previous deadlock and given all that's happened?
Well, I think some of the statistics I saw last night, the turnout's as low as 54%, so I think there's your answer. People are already very weary, you know, very disillusioned with politics.
And if Michelle O'Neill is First Minister, what sort of message will that send? How big a moment would it be?
I think it will be extremely big. She will be excellent. She's from where I'm from, is Coal Island, County Tyrone. So yes, I think she will do wonders for everybody.
And if they're stalemate, would that not be disappointment, though, if they can't agree on putting
the
government together?
The DUP and Oscon, they're all going to have to start to work and talk together and get Stormont up and running again. It's not fair on the ordinary working person either, you know. All my life, they've never agreed, and they probably will never agree on anything, but they're going to have to sit down, or else they all should be put out to graze and you get new ones in.
Put out to graze. Barry, we'll leave it there for now. Barry Lenehan in Belfast. But we'll go back to Barry if and when any news develops over the course of the morning. I'm joined in the studio by Kevin Cunningham, lecturer in politics in TU Dublin and pollster with Ireland Thinks. Yvonne Galligan is director of Equality, Diversity and Inclusion at TU Dublin and honorary professor of politics at Queen's University. And also on the line, David McCann, deputy editor of the political blog Slugger O'Toole. Good morning to you all. You're all very welcome. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Claire.
Maybe we'll just take a listen to, or we'll have a chat about what Barry told us there. I mean, all of the caution with the early tally, Kevin, we might start with you, but we've got the turnout figure of 54%, the lowest since 1998. We've got that tally, which, and he says, information coming from a couple of constituencies that the Alliance surge is real. Yeah. What are you seeing? What are you reading into this so far?
So in terms of turnout, first of all, it's hard to read too much into turnout, because turnout can mean a lot of different things. But it is interesting that places like, say, Down, which was a very strong alliance area, had one of the highest, the lowest kind of decline in turnout, so to speak. And that's a very strong alliance area. So there is some indication that the alliance are doing relatively well. We knew before this election that the alliance were going to do well across all the opinion polls. They were the party most likely to increase. Their average expected increase was around +6%. We've seen in recent elections, in the 2019 Westminster election, they were up 9% to 2019 European election. They were up 11% to 2019 local elections. They were up 5%. So the real expectation going into today was that the Alliance Party would do well. Now, what Barry's mentioned, he's mentioned South Down, which is very interesting. South Down is probably one of the first constituencies that they would expect to win. They only just barely lost out in South Down based on transfers towards the end of the day. So that's one of the kind of ones that's banked in. And West Tyrone, which Barry mentioned also, is one of those other kind of top five that the Alliance Party are expected to win. But the real question for the Alliance Party is the extent to which they're going to start picking up seats west of the ban in these traditional kind of Catholic nationalist areas. And those two constituencies that Barry mentioned, St. Down, obviously a more nationalist kind of constituency, West Tyrone, obviously, that suggests that there's a possibility that the Alliance Party might actually start to eat in towards this kind of nationalist area west of the ban. Mm. And they're likely to start picking up transfers in a way that they wouldn't otherwise in these other elections, because, you know, an STV election affords them the opportunity to start picking up transfers left, right and centre. If they're in the last count between them and the DUP or the SDLP or anyone, they're basically the party that's most likely to pick up transfers. So it could be a huge day for the Alliance Party.
A huge day for the Alliance Party. Also, Yvonne, a huge day predicted for Sinn Féin.
Yes, indeed, it is a huge day in the sense of Sinn Féin becoming the largest party in Northern Ireland politics. Mm-hmm. And this really is a seismic change, because a unionist party has always been returned as the largest party since Northern Ireland, the Northern Ireland state, came into existence in 1921. So this is a really big moment at this point in time.
And does the turnout figure 54% concern you?
I think it has to concern the Sinn Féin in its heartlands, because Sinn Féin will want to keep it, the 27 seats that it has, but on a low turnout, it might not keep that seat. Mm-hmm. And with the movement of voters that seems to be occurring, and certainly the polls up to now have indicated that there is a lot of volatility among the voters, then it's likely that even though Sinn Féin may be returned as the largest party, it might not be with the same number of seats that they went into the election with.
David, just to remind people, you know, who mightn't have studied the numbers, it's so tight here, isn't it, when we're talking about who's going to be, which party is going to be the biggest party, because the DUP were on 28 and Sinn Féin were on 27.
Yeah, so at the last assembly election, there were 8 seats that were decided within 1,000 votes in 2017. So Kevin's absolutely right. When it comes down to those later counts, things can change. So we're at the moment looking at early tallies, and we're seeing in places like South Down, West Tyrone and in Éireann Armagh that the SDLP are under some considerable pressure. However, we said the same thing in 2017, and it was in later counts in places like Upper Ban and East Derry. If we took the early tallies, we would have thought the SDLP would have not made a gain in Upper Ban and would have lost East Derry. However, on transfers, they were able to turn that around. So the margins are very, very, very fine here. And what we're seeing from some of the early tallies is very much that the TUV seem to be registering. However, the DUP are not collapsing, which is quite significant, because the DUP hold their seats with greater margins than Sinn Féin. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in the constituency of North Belfast, a 3% swing away from the DUP, they would hold their 2 seats. But if there was a 3% swing away from Sinn Féin, they would lose one of their 2 seats, because Sinn Féin hold their seats with smaller margins than the DUP typically do.
The DUP doesn't need to collapse, per se, for Sinn Féin to become the largest party. There's so little in it.
No, they don't, but they do need a bigger vote share away, because this is why we're all talking about Sinn Féin potentially winning on first preference votes, but not getting more seats. Mm-hmm. And that is actually quite common in Northern Ireland elections. I mean,
when you've a tie, right?
Yeah. But in 1998, for example, the SDLP got more first preference votes than the Ulster Unionists did, but the Ulster Unionists won 4 more seats than the SDLP. So Sinn Féin could potentially get more first preference votes, but not more seats. than the DUP, and that's the percent. And you were alluding to it there, Clare. Yes, if the two of them come in, say they both come in with 24, 25 seats each, yes, then that first preference vote share becomes absolutely critical, because that is the determining factor on who would get entitlement to the First Minister post.
What's a good day for the Alliance Party, David, on currently or heading into this election with 8 seats?
Well, at the moment, if they come back with anything more than 11, they've had a really good day. I think if they get 11 or less, that would be a disappointment. This is their election. This is really their time. They're the party that's under the least pressure. Alliance are actually going into this election with 8 safe seats. We're not actually projecting that Alliance are under pressure anywhere or that they need to hold. It's all about gains and forward momentum for them. So if they get 11, that would mean seats like North Belfast, South Belfast, Upper Bam would fall to them. But can they get those stretch seats? So the West Tyrone, the North Antrim's, the second seat in East Antrim. If we start seeing things like that, that would be quite significant, because the biggest tar against the Alliance Party is that it's basically a greater Belfast party and that it doesn't really have support outside of it. So if they win seats like North Antrim, West Tyrone and South Down, that is a charge that really can't be made against the Alliance Party anymore. And it would really show that they are a Northern Ireland-wide party for the first time.
Yeah, it changes things significantly for them. And we've spoken about, you know, this is a big day could potentially for Sinn Féin, Yvonne, potentially a big day for the Alliance Party. But for the DUP, it could be seismic.
Indeed, it could very well be a seismic day, depending on the outcome of the results, as David has been speaking about. I mean, for a unionist party who has governed Northern Ireland since 1921, unionism in general, to have to be in second place to a nationalist party, and especially Sinn Féin, which was the nationalist party that challenged the existence of the state since 1921 even. That really is a difficult position for the DUP to be in. But for unionism more generally, because they see the dominance of Sinn Féin as being a threat to their relationship with Britain and a threat to the tie with Britain, which is partly why they have been making the protocol such an issue in this campaign, because in a way the protocol is a proxy for the constitutional question, which has bedeviled Northern Ireland politics since the foundation of the state. And Sinn Féin is a party that is not trusted among unionism more generally. Unionism is much more comfortable in working with the SDLP and obviously with the Alliance Party, but not with Sinn Féin, even though Sinn Féin itself believes that it is and does act as the party that governs in the interests of everyone and has stated that.
So faced with that choice, if you're the DUP looking at this in a couple of days' time and your options are, you go into the Assembly and you've got a Sinn Féin First Minister and you're sharing power with a party that is now bigger than you. Is it preferable to have direct rule from Westminster?
Well, I guess I think the DUP and unionism in general is divided on this issue. On the one hand, you do have people that would much prefer to have direct rule from Westminster because it secures the link with the UK. But on the other hand, a lot of unionist politicians want to deliver government for their own people and would like to be part of an executive that rules in Northern Ireland. So I think it's not really an easy either or, and indeed the legislation actually makes it much more difficult to introduce direct rule from Westminster.
Well, yeah, and it appears, David, if I can bring you back in on this, that this is the one thing that all voters agree on in Northern Ireland. They want Stormont up and running, but if we get the result that we're expected, it's hard to see how that would happen in the short to medium term at least.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, with the changes under New Decade, New Approach, we actually have a longer period before government needs to be formed. So traditionally, ministers in Northern Ireland stopped being ministers yesterday on election day. But they actually continue on in post and they can still take some decisions within their departments. So the pressure is off them in that regard. But however, though, I was struck by, in this campaign, how the DUP's language was very much about getting back to an executive at some point. Now, that may mean a few months of negotiations, but I was very struck about how the DUP did keep that door open they weren't totally closing it shut. Again, it really does depend on what happens with the protocol, and it really does depend on how the kind of First Minister's issue can be fudged and how it can be done, because effectively they are co-equal offices.
Yes.
This is symbolism that we're talking about here. But and symbolism is important in Northern Ireland politics. I'm not trying to do that down. But however, though, you know, in Northern Ireland politics, you know, as Peter Robinson once famously said, a former First Minister, everything is impossible until it's actually done in Northern Ireland politics.
Kevin, I'm thinking about what one of the people who spoke to Barry Lenehan said. I'm sick of the green and orange. I saw lots of young people out voting. We just want to get on with things. We want to change how we live and how we're governed here. And the polls have seen a growth in the centre. I suppose that's borne out by what we're seeing in the early tallies when it comes to the Alliance Party. But that is a phenomenon, isn't it, of the polling?
Oh yeah, absolutely, and it's not just younger voters. I'd like to say as well. I mean, it is also older voters that are shifting towards that centre ground. There's absolutely no doubt. As David said, I'd agree. It's the organisational ability of the Alliance Party to be able to turn out, to be able to win in places like west of the Bann, where they wouldn't traditionally have much strength, and that organisational strength more generally is a lot of what this campaign is going to be about. I mean, I'm thinking even more specifically about the other side, which is the TUV, which is even more extreme, obviously. It's led by Jim Allister. It's pretty much a one-man band. The ability of the TUV to be able to start winning outside of just Jim Allister is a really important part of all this. You know, he's managed to, just when we're talking about the DUP, he's managed to be able to galvanise the people who are particularly disaffected around the protocol. He's managed to be able to pull these people together, people who are particularly enraged about it, and he's kind of been a voice for those people. Now, his ability to be able to get his party across the line, I think that essentially will be what determines whether Sinn Féin will get a First Minister or not, because, you know, Sinn Féin are likely to have a decline in vote share, and yet they'll probably end up being First Minister, right? So they'll owe that essentially to Jim Allister rather than the Alliance Party or anything else.
Bizarre setup. But when you talk about the growth of the centre, how does what Barry was telling us about the SDLP fit into that?
Yeah, so I mean, What we've seen in terms of this growth of the centre, we've generally seen a decline in a lot of Sinn Féin voters moving towards the SDLP and a lot of SDLP voters moving towards the Alliance. And similarly, on the Unionist side, DUP voters moving to the UUP and UUP voters moving to the Alliance Party. And in general, that's enabled the SDLP and the UUP to kind of stay as is, because they're getting and they're losing votes at the same time. However, obviously, if the SDLP are losing, as appears to be the case now today, losing more votes to the Alliance Party than they're taking from Sinn Féin, perhaps because Sinn Féin are talking about this being a historic election, perhaps they're kind of, you know, ensuring that the kind of First Minister issue is kind of holding up, then the SDLP are inevitably going to decrease. But they're not, you know, the SDLP, if they get 10%, that's you know, it's a relatively small decrease in terms of their vote share. Mm-hmm.
Do you agree overall with that, Yvonne?
I largely do agree with that, but I actually think that maybe this election is going to be one where SDLP voters might loan their vote to the Alliance Party, or might loan their vote to Sinn Féin, indeed, in order to see a nationalist party be in the position of First Minister. So the low turnout and the volatility of the electorate seem to be working together at this point to indicate that the outcome really is uncertain. And coming back to the DUP question, a lot depends on where the DUP end up. Two elections ago, they had 38 seats. Going into this election, they had 27 seats because one of their candidates and party members left and became an independent.
Yep.
Now, that candidate, Alex Easton, is likely to be returned in his constituency. And the rumour is that he will rejoin the DUP and increase the numbers of the DUP. So there's still
a
lot.
He'll be a kingmaker.
He actually could.
Could be. All right, we'll leave that there for now. Thank you very much to Kevin, Yvonne and David. We'll speak to Bertie Ahern after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now back to Barry Lenehan, RTE radio reporter, with some news from the Titanic Count Centre in Belfast. So Barry, what's the latest?
Yes, counting continuing here. We're really getting going now, Claire. And remember earlier on I told you the constituencies to watch as the count progresses. Well, one of them is already throwing up some fascinating storylines. This is the largely unionist constituency of Strangford, the only constituency in 2017 to return three sitting DUP MLAs. And we've had large-scale anti-protocol rallies there as well. But tallies of over 90% of the boxes in Strangford show the Alliance Party and the traditional unionist voice in the hunt for a gain at the expense of the DUP. But perhaps the bigger story, and a klaxon call, our first perhaps Portillo moment of the morning and the afternoon, the former Ulster unionist leader Mike Nesbitt is in real danger, the former television presenter, of losing his seat to his running mate Philip Smith. So Mike Nesbitt in real jeopardy. The tallies show him behind his running mate at the moment. He'll need to try and leapfrog him at some stage. Interestingly, his running mate Philip Smith attended those anti-protocol rallies in the constituency in recent weeks.
Yeah.
In Saint Field, even though his party leader Doug Beattie was against them. Another point to note in this constituency is the SDLP vote. We see Colm Eastwood out today saying that the race for First Minister perhaps has set the paradigms for this election. Well, their candidate there, who was their best chance of a gain, party apparatchiks had said, Conor Houston, Tally suggests he's on just 8%, so that perhaps will not come to pass. But the big story there is the TUV. Elsewhere across the six counties, it's believed Sinn Féin is confident in Foyle. The Green Party are hopeful of a gain in East Belfast. In South Belfast, that complex count looks like it could well return the same five MLAs when all is said and done. The Green Party doing well there, but the Alliance Party, their vote is up, but they only had 1.2 quotas the last time, so they need to get it up a bit more to get a second seat there. North Belfast, last seat again, the Alliance Party in the hunt, and also the DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson speaking at the Cant Centre to our colleague Sandra Hurley. He has said that the last seat in his constituency of Lagan Valley could go to the Alliance Party at the expense of the SDLP. And as we touched upon earlier this morning, really the story, the Alliance surge, eight seats going into today, that is on the way up. They're likely, I'm told, to get two seats in North Down, a second seat in East Antrim at the expense of the Ulster Unionist Party, whilst the TUV is also polling ahead of expectations in Newry and Armagh. But the big story emerging here so far is the Alliance Party surge, and also perhaps a few hairy moments ahead for the former Ulster Unionist leader Mike Nesbitt. Sinn Féin still, of course, on track to be the largest party. Their vote in North Belfast, I'm told, was pretty strong.
Barry, thank you for that update. Barry Lenehan there at the Titanic Count Centre in Belfast.